Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The Lord said, No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it.
Two readings which we had appointed for today. The first one is our regular sequential reading for the Sunday, and the second one being the reading for the feast of the conception of the Theotokos by St. Anna, which falls on December the 9th. I want to focus on the first one, because I can't talk about both in the time that you all will permit me. And in this first one, I actually... If it sounds familiar to you and you were here for liturgy on Thanksgiving Day, that's because this is the same gospel reading which is appointed for services of Thanksgiving. And rather than go into an elaborate theological explanation of the miraculous healing, I want to just tell you a little bit of some things that I learned whenever Father Deacon and others and I were in the Holy Land in October. The place where Jesus healed these 10 lepers was near to a certain village, and the lepers were actually living in what was a ruined cistern. In that part of the world, water is very valuable because it's all desert, and it rains maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years, and so they have these elaborate systems that are designed to collect water every time it rains, and those systems all involve cisterns, which are vast holding tanks. And they would either use a natural occurring cavern of some sort that they could then seal up and have it designed to hold lots of water, or they would build them, whatever the case was. And in this particular location, the Romans had built a cistern which had cracked. And they had built it into a cave. The cistern had cracked and it was no longer functional as a cistern. It wouldn't hold water. And since it was near to the village, and it provided a little bit of shelter, the lepers, who were forbidden to enter into the village, had made their home in this cavern, which was a broken cistern. And it's there that they encounter Jesus, because it was near to the road and he was walking to the village. And it's from there that they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so we know from this account given to us in St. Luke's Gospel how he healed them. And out of the 10 who were healed, the one who turned back and gave thanks was not even one of the Jews, but a Samaritan. And the Samaritans, as you know, were despised people. They were sort of followers of the Jewish faith, but they were also followers of other faiths as well. And they were sort of one step down from Gentile in terms of the Jewish mindset of the time. They were utterly despicable as far as they were concerned. And so it's not without reason that St. Luke points out that the one who turned back was the Samaritan. That is, that even the one who was despised had the dignity or the awareness that he should turn back and give thanks for his healing. Now, in this cave, this ruined cistern in which the lepers were living and they were healed, soon after the time of the apostles, a church was built there into the cave. And this was common throughout the Holy Land. Many, many sites very quickly had churches built over them and became sites of pilgrimage for Christians. And in fact, they even have evidence that, this is a little bit of an aside, but the tomb of the Lord was covered by a pagan temple for 200 years. It was built by Hadrian in 135, 137, around that time period. And there's they found in the 1970s, under the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, they found the foundations of that temple. And there's actually Christian graffiti on the foundations of the temple to Diana, because Christians were still, even when the site was covered by a pagan temple, Christians were still going on pilgrimage to the site and scratching Christian graffiti into the foundations of the pagan temple. "Lord, we have arrived," it says. So they came even from the West, because it was written in Latin, and they inscribed, "Lord, we have arrived." They went on pilgrimage to the site, even though it was under a pagan temple. So these sites were very, very, very early on sites of pilgrimage. And this particular site was no different. That soon after the time of the apostles, there was a church built into the cave where the lepers had lived. And then over time, the community grew, and that cave church wasn't large enough anymore, so they expanded it and built a church outside of the cave, and they dedicated that church to St. George. It's actually one of the oldest Christian churches in the world. The Church of St. George in the cave at the site of the healing of the 10 lepers. Nowadays, it's still a parish. It's in the West Bank. They have about 60 members there. They have a priest. It is in the modern-day town of Burkine. Burkine is a town of about 17,000. It's not very big as towns go, but that's 17,000 Muslims and 60 Christians. Burkine is actually a suburb of Jenin, which is a town of about 200,000. Muslims. And here you have a parish of 60 Christians. And you can suppose that it might be easy, maybe in some ways, for those Christians to do one of several things. They could renounce the Christian faith and they could become Muslim, and they would immediately gain wide social acceptance and freedom in society to move about different spheres of society. Or they could leave. They could come to America, they could go to a European country, experience more freedom and less severe persecution than they experience where they are. And they don't. Now, obviously, a lot of them have. You're down to a parish of 60 people, but you can tell from the size of the church that it was never very large to begin with. And the people that are there have understood that it is a holy duty given them by God to preserve that holy site. And they will not leave. It's really amazing. The warden of the church was the one that met us there. His name is Abu George. And the way the Arabic naming system goes, Abu George means the father of George. So instead of, like in the other naming systems that I'm familiar with, a son is called by his father's name. Over there, the father's called by his son's name. He's the father of George. But Abu George was the one that met us at the checkpoint to lead us so we could follow him to the to the place where the church was. And God bless him, he's got a cross hanging from his rearview mirror, you know. And he's got Christian stickers on the back windows of his car. And it's almost, on the one hand, it's very bold. And on the other hand, it's almost like he's volunteering for martyrdom. You know, it's one of those places where the, you know, rocks are regularly thrown at Christian cars as they're driving down the road and nothing's done about it. You know, you can't go to the local police because they don't care. So it's a phenomenal place. It's a beautiful parish. They fed us lunch there, which was obviously a tremendous sacrifice just for them to pull it together. But they did it with joy, and they sat and ate with us. And it was a beautiful, beautiful place. So given this, first of all, I thought you should know that this site still exists and it's still in Christian hands for the time being. But as I said on Thanksgiving Day, you know, the theme of this passage is predominantly one of thanksgiving. The Lord praises the Samaritan who turned back and gave thanks and acknowledged that this is the proper response of someone to the blessings from God. And so I tell you all of that so that whenever you, as devout and pious and God-fearing Christians, give thanks, you should also give thanks for these 60 people who live in very difficult circumstances with no hope of outside help and no expectation that things will get better, simply because God has placed it upon them to protect and to keep up this holy site where the Lord healed 10 lepers 2,000 years ago. To God who is glorified in his saints, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.